Good morning, Birdland. I'm Mark Brown, and I'm here with a breaking news edition of the podcast because it's more productive to do this than to run through my neighborhood at night screaming at the top of my lungs that Jackson Holliday is reportedly on his way to join the Orioles. That news was broken by ESPN reporter Jeff Passan on Tuesday night, confirmed quickly by a variety of other media, including all of the usual local sources. So, it's April the 10th, 2024, or April the 9th if you're fanatically refreshing your feed for podcast reactions on Tuesday night. The Orioles are 6-4 on the season after beating the Red Sox on Tuesday afternoon, and even more importantly, Jackson Holliday is coming. Just out front, this is going to be a more off-the-cuff episode than usual, and let's just get right down to it. I absolutely have to line up to eat some crow after accusing Mike Elias of cynical service time manipulation games when he sent Holliday down to the minors to start the season. As it turns out, Holliday will only have been down in the minors for 12 days out of what a 187-day major league season, which is important because under the collective bargaining agreement, a full season actually counts as 172 days. So the fact that Holliday was down for less than 15 days means that he will, in fact, qualify for a full year of service time for the 2024 season, assuming, of course, that he remains on the big league roster or injured list for the remainder of the year. And if he does that, then he will, in fact, qualify the Orioles to receive a prospect promotion incentive draft pick if Holliday happens to win the AL Rookie of the Year this year, or if he finishes in the top three of most valuable player voting in any of his first three big league seasons. So, Holliday will now be a free agent, again assuming he remains up for good, after the 2029 season. At this moment, I have absolutely zero concern about the 2030 Orioles, because we've got six seasons to get through between now and then. Holliday was on fire at AAA, only a 10-game sample size, but he hit .333, had a .482 on-base percentage, .595 slugging percentage. One of the concerns, quote-unquote concerns, about him in his spring training results is he struck out a lot and didn't walk very much. Well, against AAA pitchers so far this year, he's drawn 12 walks, only struck out 8 times. There was also the concern, quote-unquote concern, about Holliday against left-handed pitching. Only got 10 at-bats, but he was 4-for-10 in those at-bats. With Holliday making it to the majors, I'm just thinking again about how, when he was drafted, he set a goal for himself of making it to MLB within 2 years. I thought that seemed absolutely crazy. Well, Holliday, as it turns out, made it to Major League Baseball, the big leagues, with 3 months still to spare. And it's crazy because he wasn't even the most hyped guy out of the draft class, or at least for me, it wasn't like that. Based on my reading through the pre-draft scouting reports and such, I was really most excited for a different son of a former major leaguer. That was Drew Jones, the son of Andrew. And I was also excited about Termar Johnson, who ended up being drafted number 4 by the Pirates. Jones was picked right after Holliday by the Diamondbacks. So Jones has yet to get above the low A level. Termar Johnson, he hit well in low A and high A combined last year, starting this year at the high A level. The Pirates, who drafted him, certainly can be happy that they got Johnson, but O's fans are plenty happier about Holliday right now, and that's looking like that's going to be the case for at least a couple more years and beyond. So now that Holliday is going to be here, I'm making the following assumptions about how he's going to fit onto the roster. I think Tony Kemp is heading for the great DFA in the sky, that is, being designated for assignment, which will make space on the 40-man roster that can then be filled by Holliday. I think that means Ramon Urias is going to be shuffled into more of a reserve role, and I'm again making an assumption about playing time that Holliday will primarily play second base, but he can probably slide over and do some shortstop if Gunnar Henderson is getting the day off, or maybe playing designated hitter, or maybe even playing third base. Now, it is also possible that there could be some kind of surprise injured list move instead. Jordan Westberg did not play in Tuesday's game at all. I don't know if that's significant for this purpose. I don't know if the Orioles have suddenly, quote-unquote, discovered an injury to Arias or even Kemp that would allow them to shuffle one of those guys onto the injured list. I think that would be a case of what I always think of as the Ubaldo Jimenez parking lot pothole, because about 10 years ago when Jimenez was on the Orioles and struggling, he got put on the injured list, and it was explained that he stepped out of his car and stepped into a pothole and rolled his ankle. Now, I have no proof that general manager at the time, Dan Duquette, did not personally jackhammer that pothole outside of the door of where Ubaldo Jimenez parked the car. I cannot prove that, but I'm always going to believe it a little bit. So anyway, my shorthand is for a suspicious injury list stint that somebody got potholed. And maybe it wouldn't be a shock if Arias or Kemp got potholed. And we will find out about that on Wednesday when the Orioles make the move official. I am very curious if this was always the plan, or did Holiday's amazing early performance plus Arias and Kemp combining to be an absolute bust at the plate end up forcing the issue? Arias is hitting 091 so far this season. He's got a 130 on-base percentage, has yet to get an extra base hit. So the slugging percentage identical to the batting average at 091. Those are some bad numbers. Arias, he did get a cheap hit in Tuesday's game, an infield hit, went past the pitcher's mound. They couldn't field it. So infield hit for Arias, but he looked lost otherwise. I feel he has looked lost in general since the season began. Tony Kemp, hitless in 9 at-bats. I don't know what was the point of getting him here in the first place. I will be right back after a message from a Fans First Sports Network sponsor, and then we can talk about Jackson Holiday some more. I'm thinking about the comparison to 1 year ago when the Orioles had Grayson Rodriguez start the season in the minors. That was just about as disappointing to fans, including me. Rodriguez ended up getting a panic call-up within the first couple of series of the year after Kyle Bradish took the liner off his foot when he was pitching his first start of the year in Texas. The Orioles, on that case, actually were kind of proven right to have Rodriguez start in the minors based on how he looked when he pitched in the first half. He definitely required being sent back to the minors to get something else figured out. Looked pretty darn good when he came back in the second half. So I'm hoping Holiday can be at least holding his own enough that he does not need to be sent back down to the minors. And if he does need to have a 6 week or so adjustment period before he starts being awesome, well, I'm glad that the Orioles are starting that adjustment period on April the 10th rather than if they had delayed calling him up until June the 5th or whatever. I gotta say, though, if it was the plan all along due to the Orioles having an early string of facing left-handed starting pitchers, they ended up facing 5 lefty starters in their first 10 games of the year. I think if that's really why they kept Holiday down, I think the Orioles outsmarted themselves, the galaxy brained themselves, whatever, and they just ended up fielding less than their best possible roster for 10 games by having Holiday in the minors with clearly nothing left to learn and by having Arias and Kemp getting the time in the infield. But you know what? With the Orioles being 6-4 through the first 10 games, it's really hard to complain too much about where things have ended up. In case you need even more reason to get excited for Holiday coming, I'm going to quote from the MLB Pipeline scouting report, where Holiday is the number one prospect in the game. He's pretty much the unanimous number one prospect on every list I've seen. Everyone, whether it's behind a paywall, whether it's publicly available, whether it's a mainstream site, whether it's a fan list, whatever. I've seen Holiday number one everywhere. So here's the scouting report, again from MLB Pipeline. Quote, "It's an easy argument to make that Holiday is the best pure hitting prospect in the game. His incredibly advanced approach at the plate led to him being just one of 8 minor leaguers who walked 100 or more times in 2023, resulting in a .442 on-base percentage. He combines that discipline with a short left-handed stroke that delivers consistent hard contact and elite level exit velocities. Holiday continues to add strength, and there's confidence he'll drive the ball more and over the fence with greater consistency. A plus runner who can steal a base, Holiday has more than enough range, good enough hands and actions, and plus instincts to play shortstop for a very long time. End quote. I mean, holy crap, right? That sounds pretty awesome. Of course, Orioles fans, we are not unfamiliar with having the number one prospect in the game since we had Adley Rutschman 2 years ago, Gunnar Henderson a year ago. Those guys, pretty darn good in their debut seasons. Rutschman, I think, was only prevented from winning the Rookie of the Year himself by the injury he suffered in spring training that kept him from debuting until mid-May. Henderson, even as he was batting under 200 by the end of May, he was still getting on base enough to have a pretty darn good season. And when he finally turned things around, wow, it was amazing. And it's exciting now that these three guys are going to overlap on the Orioles for at least 4 seasons. I think that's great. So I've mentioned the prospect promotion incentive pick. So the idea there is if Holiday can win the Rookie of the Year. And based on the preseason hype levels, it seems like his primary competition for that is going to be the Texas Rangers duo, outfield duo of Evan Carter and Wyatt Langford. Carter is Kobe Mayo-aged prospect. He's an outfielder. We actually did see a bit of him in the postseason last year. He was annoying in that he hardly ever swung at anything out of the strike zone. So far this season, hitting 188 with a 381 on-base percentage, 375 slugging percentage. So that's pretty similar to what we were seeing from Henderson last year, basically, walking a lot, even if it was a low average. It's almost as if Carter heard about Holiday's call-up because he homered for the first time of the year on Tuesday after the news of Holiday's call-up broke. Now, I'm sure that didn't actually happen, but those things did coincidentally line up. As for Wyatt Langford, he was the number 4 overall pick just a year ago, so he raced from playing for the University of Florida to playing for the Texas Rangers in a span of about 9 months. He is hitting .267 with a .320 on-base percentage, .333 slugging percentage so far. Now, those stats are, as of this recording, I am talking while the Rangers have a game in progress, so they could change between now and when you listen to this. With Holiday here, it's hard not to look ahead just a little bit and wonder who's going to be next out of Kobe Mayo, Connor Norby, Heston Kjerstad, and Kyle Stowers to join the roster. All of those guys are lighting up the opposition for AAA Norfolk. I think Holiday to the Orioles was the lowest hanging fruit of the possible moves. The next one after this seems like it's going to require an injury to an existing regular, which we don't want, or a trade, either of one of those guys somewhere else, or if somehow somebody decides they want Austin Hayes or whatever. That's a problem for another day. I'm not going to spend too much time worrying about it. You shouldn't either. My one little nitpick I'm going to throw in at the end here is I would like to know what is up with Mike Elias never debuting the top prospects at home to give fans a chance to see the debut. I personally have some pretty good memories in a past era of the Orioles, really 2 eras ago, of changing plans to get to Camden Yards to watch the debut game for Matt Wieters. I went, of course, at that time, GM Andy McPhail announced several days in advance that Wieters would be debuting, so I made sure to get tickets. And a few years after that, Manny Machado was announced that he was going to debut around like midnight, but that was enough time with a home game the next day to scramble to make some plans with some Camden Chat friends to show up and see Machado's debut. That was a lot of fun. It's kind of unfortunate that with Adley Rutschman's debut, although that did come with a home game, it was, you know, the Saturday morning where the Preakness was happening that night, and now he's not done it with Holiday. He didn't do it with Gunnar Henderson. I don't know. Elias, he doesn't care about that stuff, and that's fine. But also, it's a little annoying, right? It would be nice to not have to go to Boston to see Holiday's debut. Whatever. I hope he hits 5 home runs, and I can still see him the next game I'm coming to at Camden Yards this year. That's all that I've got for today. If you have enjoyed this breaking news episode of the pod, please subscribe on your preferred listening platform. Thank you. I will be back as regularly scheduled on Friday morning, hopefully with some fun things to say about Holiday's first two Major League games and how the Orioles played in those games. Good Morning Birdland is a Camden Cast production on the Fans First Sports Network. This is Mark Brown, signing off.